the past few weeks, I've been foregone doing the proverb of the day. I'm going to get back into that today. Today is September the 14th, so I'm going to read and deal with a subject of scripture out of Proverbs chapter number 14. I'll do that in just a moment, but I do want to let you know that Blessings of Liberty is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road, and we have a website that has all of our times, services. You can listen to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast on there. You can listen to sermons on there. It is mtlebanonbc.org. That's short for Mount Lebanon Baptist Church.org. mtlebanonbc.org. And I believe there's a contact button on there if you'd like to send us an email. We have that. I would encourage everybody, and we've got a lot. We've been able to go in and look and see where people have listened from and things like that. We've got listeners in Japan.
Really?
And where else? What? Seems like there was one from China.
Huh.
And there were some other odd places. So you never know.
You wouldn't expect that.
Yeah. Being on the internet is like being in the ocean. You just never know what you're going to catch, you know, and it gets carried out. The current carries it all around the world. So we're having a lot of listeners there and people tuning in. And I would encourage you to get last Sunday's message and listen to it. It's called History Repeats Itself. And I dealt with a little bit about 9/11 and remembering what happened there and some things. So I'll talk a little bit more about that as the time goes on. But we'd love to have you come and visit with us at Mount Lebanon. And we have had a lot of visitors come from listening on the radio broadcast. So we do certainly appreciate that. And you'll find a warm welcome there. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. I'm going to deal with one verse today. And I'm going to use this proverb to sort of lead into some things I've been thinking about lately. And I just, when I come across this scriptures, I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today. I thought this was a perfect opportunity to share something I'd been thinking about. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Just a little short proverb. And the reason we do this, I share a proverb from whatever day of the month it is. Every week on Blessings of Liberty, and I encourage others to get in the good habit of reading a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day. And so today, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I got to thinking about, there's just some topics that are never mentioned in society at large. And what I mean by that, I mean, there's a lot of talk today, talk radio, on the TV, from our politicians, you know, concerning our national trials and tribulations and catastrophes that seem like it's just a daily thing. Some other terrible thing happens in the United States of America. We've had BP oil spills. We've had gas line explosions out in California, fires, forest fires. All fires are firefighters, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. I knew when I said that it didn't come out right. Forest fires, you know, all this stuff happening in our country all the time. Financial woes, unemployment, general discord and unhappiness and all these things. And I've begun to notice lately that there's one subject that is never, ever mentioned, and that is righteousness or the lack thereof, which would be sinfulness. You will never hear it mentioned in the White House, in the State House, in the schoolhouse, or sadly, even many church houses, the subject of our national righteousness or sinfulness is never mentioned. Yet the Word of God says, righteousness exalteth a nation, which means that'll make us great. Or on the other hand, sin is a reproach to any people. The presence of sin in our nation will bring us down. That is never mentioned. But nevertheless, in God's Word, God puts a premium on it. God thinks a lot about the morality of a nation. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Woe unto them," and that means a curse or judgment unto them, that call evil good and good evil. That's where we're at in America today. It goes on and it says that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God says, woe unto them. Now, here's what I'm getting at today. Once upon a time, our nation, our leaders realized that there was a very close connection between righteousness as a people and God's blessing, and the sinfulness of a people and God's curse. And what I've done today, blessings of liberty, we always go back to the Bible. We always go back to the founding of our nation, our forefathers, things they said, what made our nation great, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, morality, hard work. We always talk along those lines. But I brought several examples today along those lines of what our forefathers had to say about the blessing of God upon our nation, or the curse of God upon our nation, or the subject of righteousness in our nation and sinfulness in our nation. And I want to start today with an example from 1777. This was a proclamation where America sought God's favor in a time of warfare. Now, this was 1777. Of course, you recognize that's a year after the Declaration of Independence. Our nation was at war, but we were winning that war, and God was blessing in that war and in the effort there. And so I want to read something. This was enacted in Congress, November the 1st, 1777, and I'm going to read to you today. Here's some things that you will not hear discussed in the public sector. But if we're going to be a prevailing nation in troublesome times, we need to get back to this attitude. Now, listen to what our forefathers said. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such farther blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him in His abundant mercy not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war. Our forefathers had the clear conscience that they could come along and they could say in Congress that this is a just and necessary war for the defense and establishment of our unalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He hath pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops and to crown our arms with most signal success. Now, they realized that their success came from an Almighty God. They realized that the victory that they were experiencing came from Him, and that God Himself was blessing their arms. That word, that is a capital A-R-M. It means their weapons of warfare and their battles that they were in. And so in light of all that, they said this: it is therefore recommended, and it goes on, it says, to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of September, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that with one heart and one voice the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor. Now, here's something it said for the good people to do. We're going to set aside a day for the good people to express grateful feelings of their hearts to their divine benefactor. So they acknowledge that there was such a thing as a good people or a righteous people. But then it goes on and it says, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins. So they acknowledge that there was good people and that there's sinful people. And these people were going to come together during one day for a day of thanksgiving, confession, repentance of their manifold sins, it said there, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble, earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please Him graciously to afford His blessing on the governments of these states respectively. And so, as I begin to study this out, once upon a time, our forefathers recognized They need to recognize Almighty God. All of our blessings come from Him. He blesses us when we are righteous, and He curses us when we are unrighteous or sinful. Remember the proverb, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then it goes on and it says, and prosper the public counsel of the whole, to inspire our commanders both by land and sea, and all under them, with the wisdom and fortitude which may render them fit instruments under the providence of Almighty God, to secure for these United States the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace. And so they said, we need to do this so that God will bless our troops. You know, we see that sign all the time, support our troops, God bless our troops, pray for our troops, all of these things. Now, I came across something the other day that was very disturbing unto me, and it came about in light of this pastor down in Florida that was announced that he was going to burn the Quran in opposition of, you know, I'm sure everybody listening in heard about that. He was going to do it on 9/11. But there was a story posted on the Drudge Report that talked about in Afghanistan, this would have happened about a year and a half ago, a local church here in America sent one of their members who was in the armed services, sent him copies of God's word in the Arabic language. When it got over there, a chaplain found out about it, confiscated the Bibles, marked them as trash, and the United States military took those Bibles that were sent from churches here in the United States of America for the troops to be able to hand out and give out over there as they seen fit. And the military took those Bibles and burnt them. And then, on the other hand, General Petraeus comes out publicly and says this pastor is basically wrong. I think Robert Gibbs used the word idiotic, or maybe that was the U.S. Justice Department, Robert Holder. You know, our official stance is burn the Word of God, preserve the Quran. So you see there's been a huge turnabout in the attitude of our leaders towards God Almighty. Burn the Bible, save the Quran. Our forefathers would turn over in their graves. Then it said that it may please him to prosper the trade and manufactures of the people and the labor of the husbandman, that our land may yet yield its increase. That was talking about a day in our country where people manufactured things, where farmers farmed the land. They said, we need a day of repentance and humiliation and thanksgiving so God will bless our manufacturing and God will bless our farming. And then it said to take schools and seminaries of education so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under his nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, there's that word again, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so they talk about the importance of the schools to promote religion and liberty and virtue and piety and all of these things. And you see the change in our country today, in schools today, no Bible, no prayer, no Ten Commandments, but they will have a day of silence to acknowledge the homosexual struggle, and that's gone on in Watauga County now for several years. But no Bible, no prayer, no acknowledgement of the true God of heaven. I've brought this to light on the radio before up in Massachusetts. There's a school up there, high school, that was having practices this early this fall, in the middle of the night from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. to accommodate their Muslim football players. You see how things have changed in this country. And then it goes on. My time will quickly get gone. And it is further recommended that servile labor and such recreation as though at other times innocent may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment be omitted on so solemn an occasion. So they recommended, you know, call off the ball games, the dances, things of that nature. Can you imagine a school calling off a sporting event so that people could pray and give thanks unto God? And so that's a proclamation from 1777 I wanted to share with you. Another one, March 16, 1776. This is going back in time, in Congress. In times of impending calamity and distress, when the liberties of America are imminently endangered by the secret machinations and open assaults of an insidious and vindictive administration, it becomes the indispensable duty of these heretofore free and happy colonies, with true penitence of heart and the most reverent devotion, publicly to acknowledge the overruling providence of God, to confess and deplore our offenses against Him, and to supplicate His interposition for averting the threatening danger and prospering our strenuous efforts in the cause of freedom, virtue, and prosperity. And, you know, I just can't imagine foul-mouthed Biden or the guy, the Republican Boehner. I can't remember his first name, but I've heard both of them curse publicly. I cannot see them calling for our nation to repent of our sins and basically get right with God. But that's what our leaders used to do. And I know that's a long paragraph there to share, but most people probably never heard it in their lives and won't take the time to go look it up and read it for themselves. I've got another example, and I'm just going to hit some highlights here. This is from the A Proclamation of Humiliation in Prayer by James Madison, August 1812. You remember the War of 1812? He came out and recommended a time of humiliation in prayer for the nation of America. This was printed in the Independent Chronicle on July the 20th, 1812, which is in Boston, Massachusetts. Anyway, the proclamation, and I'm going to just hit some highlights. Whereas the Congress of the United States, by joint resolution of the two houses. Now, it was the president, the Congress, and both houses. There was no one-sided effort here. This would truly be called bipartisan. Both houses agreed. Everybody in the government agreed. The president agreed, hey, we're in trouble. We need to do something. They proclaimed a day of public humiliation and prayer. It goes on, it says, on the solemn occasion produced by the war, in which he has been pleased to permit the injustice of a foreign power to involve these United States. He said, I do therefore recommend a day to be set apart for the devout purposes of rendering to the sovereign of the universe and the benefactor of mankind the public homage due to his holy attributes, of acknowledging the transgressions which might justly provoke the manifestations of his divine displeasures. What he was saying there in old-fashioned language is we need to come aside, we need to repent of our sins, we've transgressed a holy God, and this is his judgment that has brought us into this unjust war. That's what the President of the United States was proclaiming. He was saying, hey, America, we've sinned, and we're in trouble because of that, and we need to repent as a nation and make our heart right with God. He said, what we need to do, seek his merciful forgiveness, his assistance in the great duties of repentance and amendment, and especially of offering fervent supplications that in the present season of calamity and war, he would take the American people under his peculiar care and protection, that he would guide their public councils, animate their patriotism, and bestow his blessing on their arms, that he would inspire all nations with a love of justice and of concord, and with a reverence for the unerring precept of our holy religion, to do to others as they would require others to do to them, and finally, that turning the hearts of our enemies from the violence and injustice which sway their counsels against us, he would hasten a restoration of the blessing of peace. And I'm saying all this today to say that the subject of righteousness and sinfulness has been removed from our society. And until we get back to acknowledging this, we'll never be right in our country. God will not help us until we acknowledge our offenses against him. This is from 1860. This is by President James Buchanan. This was a time in our country of much dissension, infighting, economic turmoil, pre-Civil War days. They were in trouble. And James Buchanan in 1860, he said, numerous appeals have been made to me by pious and patriotic associations and citizens in view of the present distracted and dangerous condition of our country, to recommend that a day be set apart for humiliation, fasting, and prayer throughout the Union. In compliance with their request and my own sense of duty, I designate Friday, the 4th of January, 1861. And so he had been appealed to by pious people. That means he's talking about religious people, patriotic associations, what we would call Tea Party people, probably today, and citizens, in view of present distracted and dangerous. So he comes out. He says the Union of the States is at the present moment threatened with alarming and imminent danger. Panic and distress of a fearful character prevails throughout the land. Listen to what he says. Our laboring population are without employment and consequently deprived of the means of earning their bread. Indeed, hope seems to have deserted the minds of men. All classes are in a state of confusion and dismay, and the wisest counsels of our best and purest men are wholly disregarded. You know what? That sounds like our day and time. Listen, it's not like our country has never been through troublesome times. We've been through troublesome times many, many times, over and over and over again. Yet God, in His mercy, has brought us out. And there's a reason why He brought us out, because we as a nation, historically, time and time again, have repented, have turned back to God, have acknowledged our sinful ways. Listen to what he says. In this, the hour of our calamity and peril, to whom shall we resort for relief but to the God of our fathers? His omnipotent arm only can save us from the awful effects of our own crimes and follies, our own ingratitude and guilt towards our Holy Father. He goes on down. He talks about our individual and national sins. And in acknowledging the injustice of our punishment, he realized that they realized they were in a mess because of their own sins and that they needed to turn to God. Now I want to share with you one more. Our time is quickly getting by today, and we'll skip some of that. You can find this information, by the way, a lot of it, on a website called wallbuilders.com. Got a lot of good stuff on there. This is a proclamation appointing a national fast day by Abraham Lincoln. I want to read some of this to you. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and of nations, has, by a resolution, requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. Once again, the Congress was in agreement. The president was in agreement. The people were in agreement. He said, and whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. That's a quote from Psalms 33 and verse number 12, where it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He refers to the Bible. Then he says this, and in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. He says, look, we're going through this. We're being punished by God. We need to do something about it. Listen to what he said. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. it behooves us, and you know what? I remembered this day because I copied this in my Bible years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in the front leaf of my Bible, that little paragraph I just read. And how true that is. We're intoxicated with unbroken success. People in America don't feel like they even need God anymore. He said, it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. And then it goes on down and he says, now therefore, I do by this proclamation designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. He requests that all people abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their homes in keeping the day holy and to make it a religious day. He said, all this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings. He's talking about the Bible, that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. And he goes on down by President Abraham Lincoln and William H. Seward, Secretary of State. But I go through all that and I read all that today to point out once again, it's not the first time our nation has been in trouble. Over and over again, our nation has been in trouble. Over and over again, our nation has recognized our national sins, turned to God, as the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. But I say this in closing today, until righteousness, words like righteousness and sin and confession and humility are reintroduced into society, there will be no hope for our nation because we're missing it. We're missing it as a people, what the real problem is. And then November will come and go, and there'll be a whole lot of disappointed people because they put their hopes in the wrong place. We do need new leaders, no doubt about that. But we need a new attitude towards what God says is important, and that's righteousness and our association with sin. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We've got 10 seconds left. I want to say I appreciate each and every one that listens in. I appreciate Dave running the board and sitting in here so patiently and helping out the way that he does. Hope everybody has a great week, and listen in again next Tuesday.